This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Heather Canna from Tampa, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 27th, episode 1286. Good morning, Horse World.
It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride!
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Canna, where it's Ladies Day every day.
It's the rodeo show, come on out to the rodeo.
Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. You know, Heather, the last two episodes, I kind of felt like an interloper or the only guy in this whole women's world that you have built here. And today I don't have to, right? We're going to have a guy on today. So
that's right. That's right.
I'm not going to feel so much like an intruder into your world. We are recording this. This is not live, as you probably figured out. All the shows this week, we have brand new shows for you most days this week, and we're putting them out right at 9 o'clock, and you'll be able to listen to them on the apps or iTunes or wherever you listen to our shows, because we're off on vacation. We're actually right now at the Grand Canyon, so we hope that you enjoy all of the shows this week, and thank you to Heather for recording a little early. We appreciate that.
Happy to.
Now, Heather is here the fourth Thursday of every month. This is her third episode. If you missed the first couple, head on over to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Women in Rodeo. It'll bring up the first two episodes, and you can take a listen back if you missed them. And tell us what is coming up on today's show, Heather.
Well, we have Chad Prather with Ride TV and his show. He's host of It's My Backyard. And Callie DuPerrier.
And he's not opinionated at all, I'm going to throw in.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say that. It might be good that we're pre-recording. We also have Callie DuPerrier. She is the a new Wrangler National Finals Rodeo Qualifier and WPRA Barrel Racer. And she'll be joining us today. And, of course, we'll have someone from the Miss Rodeo America Foundation and Lorinda Van Newkirk with Gypsy Soul.
Very good. Sounds like a fun show you've got planned. Now, every time I talk to you over the past month, it's been 4-H this and 4-H that. You are a 4-H mom.
And FFA. We do it all. We sure do. Last night we had our first FFA alumni meeting, so I'm in full... I'm ready to rock and roll with
You're
that too.
You're in farm mode.
I sure am.
And now you got some more new animals coming. You're going to have Green Acres there pretty soon.
I hope so. I enjoy it, so I'm excited.
So tell us about the animals you have now, and then what's coming.
Well, right now we just have the dogs. We have two dogs, and we have the pig, and we have two heifers coming. So we have one. She's a September calf, so we can't bring her home for. Goodness, at least probably 6 weeks or so. And then my daughter has a March calf coming. So she's a little bit bigger. Last I heard, she was around 350 pounds. So we're just waiting on our barn, the beginning of our barn, and the first two stalls to be done to bring those two home.
I was just going to say, I hope you don't live in a suburb with like a half an acre yard.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
So do you have a good size farm? Is it a nice size?
Right now we have 5 acres. Are working on, there's a piece of property next door to us that we would like to get our hands on. So we're seeing what we can do about that.
Oh, you can put a lot of animals in 5 acres.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, I have plans. I want some horses and some cows, and you can only do so much with 5 acres when you start getting the bigger animals.
Yeah, we have 11 acres here, and we could have comfortably with all the paddocks we have, because it's all in paddock, we could probably have 6-7 horses comfortably here.
Right, right. Yeah.
I know that one point they had like 12 or 14, but, you know, that means there's no grass to eat and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. You're buying a lot of hay.
Exactly. So heifers, we used to have Black Angus, and I used to love them when they were small. And my wife was so afraid that we would never butcher them because I would grow fond of them. Mm-hmm. So we always named them Chuck, Roast, things like that. So that it was a reminder to me that these were going to have to go eventually. But
very true. I had a pig when I was little and I named her Bacon Bit. So, and I keep trying to get my daughters when they're showing, well, my oldest, she's showing her pig. I keep saying, please name one Bacon Bit. And she just won't do it.
Or ham or something, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
These are actually dairy heifers we're bringing in from a local dairy. So these will go back and have a happy home, and the girls can go visit them when we're done with their project. So,
oh, okay. So they're just visiting. They're on lease.
Yes, exactly.
You're leasing your cows.
We are.
You know, I got to tell you, though, I hope you have strong fencing, because the one thing I hated about our cows when we had them, we had several sets, is they would always get out. The horses would never get out. The cows were out all the time.
We have really good fence.
Good.
So we're ready for that.
By the time they got out about the 12th time and we'd have to go out and rustle them up and they wouldn't want to get caught and they were at the neighbor's yard digging it all up, I wanted to shoot them right there in the neighbor's yard. At that point,
I have neighbors whose bulls constantly get out, and their cows, and so they were always in my yard. And so now, at least I keep them out too. I don't get up in the morning and there's a cow staring at me in the kitchen window.
Well, now yours can go do the same thing at the neighbor's house.
That's right.
Yeah, we don't want them out with the bull though. So
no. Good.
Well, that's kind of cool. This is an exciting time when you're that age.
It sure is.
As your kids. Now you have speaking of age, right? You have you have one coming up.
Yes, I have my daughter's turning 13, so I'm going to have a teenager in the house.
God bless you.
Yeah, well, and you're going to call me crazy, but so for her birthday, she wanted to do a birthday party sleepover.
You lock
and so
her
I'm
her
going to have
and leave her there for 12 years. No.
No, no. So for her birthday, I will have 8 teenage girls in my house.
Oh.
But you'll be proud of me. I'm smart. So I said, okay, yeah, we can do that.
Okay, is your husband going on vacation that night?
No, listen, we have fun stuff planned. So we have a fifth wheel trailer, and I'm going to put all those girls out in our fifth wheel trailer. They're going to camp out for the night.
You're going to make them sleep outside.
I am. There's a method to my madness.
I love that.
But we have rented Halloween costumes, or bought Halloween costumes, and I'm going to be a scary clown. And my sister-in-law is also going to be a clown. And then my husband and my brother are dressing up as these, I don't know, they have, do you know what a guinea suit is?
No.
Okay, so it's like a camouflage suit that you can wear when you're out.
Yeah. I know what you mean now. Yep.
Okay, so a ghillie suit then these spooky skeleton masks. And we are going to go out and scare the tar out of those girls in the middle of the night. So I'm excited about that.
It's always fun to torture the kids.
It is.
That's fun.
Well, that's just me, you know, I know what's coming. She's a teenager.
You're getting revenge early.
Exactly.
Like, it's pre-revenge.
That's right.
Well, that's good. Well, happy birthday to Savannah.
Well, thank you. I'll let her know.
And how old's the other one?
She is 8.
8, okay.
Going on 25.
Oh, I gotcha. Gotcha. She's already 13.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
There's always one of those in a group.
Absolutely.
Well, now we have some daily winnies to do too, so why don't we get to those?
All righty. So our first one goes out to Carly Richardson. She recently won the Kissimmee Wrangler Champions Challenge. She placed first place, running a 15.84, and she's currently sitting at number 10 in the world standings.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yep, she's doing really good.
That's pretty good. There are a few racers out there, so that's really good.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, next one.
Jill Welsh's horse, French First Watch, also known as Custer, recently was named 2015 AQHA, American Quarter Horse Association's Barrel Horse of the Year. And for more information on that and the full list, because there are more, you can go to proradio.com.
French First Watch.
Yes.
Wow. That's an interesting name. And so that's Barrel Horse of the Year for the AQHA.
Yes.
And the WPRA.
Yep.
The
yes.
Women's Professional Rodeo Association.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Well, congratulations to Jill and Custer.
Yes.
Very yep. good. Well, now we also have a sponsor for this half hour. Tell us about that.
We do. Gypsy Soul is our sponsor today, and the Gypsy Soul Company and its three brands of footwear, clothing, and accessories were co-founded in 2003 by Amy Morehouse and Lorinda Van Newkirk. Together, they invite you to join in and unleash your soul. Some women have souls that beg to move, to travel, to love, to be free. They have a spirit that demands more out of life. These women have gypsy souls. For these women, a line of clothing, shoes, and accessories have been created. Find Gypsy Soul at www.gypsysoul.com and then follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Very good. I was just on the website looking at that earlier. I see that you have that clothing influence.
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I love Gypsy Soul. You know, I like to stand out. When I'm out at business functions, I tend to just wear a dress and boots. But when I go other places, I like to stand out and just be a little bit different, and their clothes are perfect for that.
I've seen you out and about, and you are definitely noticed when you're out and about. No question about that. Very good. You can find that at Gypsy Soul, and that's SOULE.com. Well, we are going to go to our first guest, and I was so glad that you wanted to have this guy on because I saw the video, and and 1.746 million other people have seen this particular video. He has a bunch of them.
Yes.
Do you want me just to play it? This is Chad Prather. You've all seen it on your Facebook page, but we'll play a little bit of it so you know who we're talking about.
Week for a rant, but I got a message today that I thought you might enjoy. Somebody said, Chad, we're offended by your southern accent. It proves to us you're not intelligent. Well, maybe I'm not that smart. I would love to be as smooth, sophisticated, suave, and debonair as those of you who send me those messages seem to be. I wish that I could articulate my thoughts and enunciate my words as well as you master communicators must be capable of doing. However, I grew up in the state of Georgia where a southern dialect really was our only option. And now, after living all these years in the state of Texas, nobody yet has stopped me for using a phrase such as y'all or gonna or fixin' to. Yet you say it makes me sound less than intelligent. You can stop listening. In fact, nobody ever invited you into the conversation. It's okay. Just walk away. If that's all it takes really to offend your feeble mind, however, let me remind you, we got a lot of guns down here. We hunt, we fish, we burn up the ozone layer with our four-wheel drive trucks and our diesel engines. We refer to women in our lives as dear darling and sweetheart, not as a term that's derogatory or offensive, but as a term of endearment, and most of them tend to like it. We teach our children to say ma'am and sir to their elders and to do so for the rest of their lives as a sign of respect, no matter how old they get. Believe it or not, no matter what the media wants to tell you, we get along by and large with people who are not just like us, whether it's differences in the color of their skin or the country they come from, or yes, even those of you up north. Y'all come on down. And ladies, no matter how liberated you get, we as southern gentlemen, we've been taught and we're going to fight for the right to hold the door open for you. I'm sorry if that's offensive. Yep, our parents disciplined us as we were growing up with something a little bit stronger than time out, and it taught us self-respect, self-discipline, and respect for other people. I'm sorry if the way we talk offends you. Not really. Hey, love y'all. Really do. And here's another term we use down south, and we're not ashamed of it. God bless. Facebook poke.
How could you not love him? He's just awesome.
And he does these all in his car. Or his
I know,
truck.
Right?
I don't know. Where it's his truck, I guess. And he just does them in his... We're going to have to find out why he does them in the truck. Because there's like 100 of them. I mean, there's a lot.
There's
of
so
these.
Many. You can just get sucked in and watch them all day.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely do that. Let's get him on the line here and have a chat with Chad Prather, because a lot of things have happened because of these videos.
Hi, Chad. Welcome to the show. For all of you that do not know who Chad is host of It's My Backyard on Ride Television. Chad, why don't you just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, moved out to Texas in 2003, kind of fell in love with Fort Worth and was out here for work. And I just said, you know, this feels like home to me. So 6 months later, I'd packed up a truck and I headed out to Fort Worth. And I've always been.
He lives in the back of the one bar there on Main Street where they drive the cattle.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly right. We just pull the trailer right up to the back door. And It's very convenient for a lot of reasons. You can use your own bathroom. You don't have to wait in line. You can get drunk and crash and just pass right out and sleep in your own bed.
As soon as you said you felt at home in Fort Worth, I just pictured you in the back of one of those bars.
That's exactly right. And you know what? If you get mad with management at one bar, you just move your house down the road a little bit and pick up at another bar. So I am a frequent Fort Worth nightlife attendee. And so, yeah, I moved out to Fort Worth and just fell in love with it. I've been around the world, and it's the only place I've ever truly felt at home. And so it will continue to be home. And, you know, I've always been in some form of the entertainment industry, whether it's, you know, comedy or TV, radio, things like that. And the guys from Ride Television Network reached out to me a little over a year ago and were wanting to do some projects. And so kind of got hooked up with them. And Ride, of course, is an all equine lifestyle network. They focus more on the people whose lives are impacted and affected on a daily basis by horses. And so it kind of, you know, they tell a really good story with all of their programming. And so I got involved with those guys, and they're doing well. They're on Dish Network now, distributed through Dish. So they're in about 4 million homes. I host a show called It's My Backyard, which is a travel show. And we go to equine events around the country. We try to find really unique things. Like this past weekend, we were at a jousting event for a Renaissance deal.
And I have to ask you, did you ride? Did you ride? Did you do any jousting?
I did not do any jousting.
Oh, come on.
I did not do any jousting. I'm a little bit of a risk taker. I probably would have, had we had time, I probably would have done something a little bit risky, but I don't know if I would have done a full out joust, because these guys are tough. I mean, these are professional stuntmen. And I was interviewing a few of them, and I said, you know, talk to me about injuries that you guys have. And he said, man, we've had people with broken necks out here. And I said, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
I'm Besides, he's a TV guy. He has to keep that face in one piece.
That's right. That's right.
I don't want to mess this up. It's not much, but it's all I've got.
Okay. You know what? Us radio people, we can afford to get it messed up. It doesn't matter. Right?
So. Well, you know, my shtick is my, and this sounds funny and vain to say, but it's my smile. I get a lot of attention about my smile.
It's
and so
the
I do
truth.
A big thing about smiles, and I have people all the time who are saying, your teeth are fake. I've literally, talking about in the bars in Fort Worth, I've literally, on numerous occasions, I've had women walk up to me and put their fingers in my mouth to see if they could pull my teeth out.
Oh, no, do not touch my mouth. I can't believe they did that.
They just reached into my mouth
That's
while I'm
funny.
Talking to someone to see if my teeth were real.
Now, you get
like,
decked if a guy did that to a girl.
On?
You know, it can go the other way, but it doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
That never works.
Well, so I've always had people who have said things like that, you know, are your teeth real? Are your teeth real? And I said, you know what? I had braces when I was between the ages of 13 and 15 when they came off. I don't even go to the dentist regularly, and I should, but I've been blessed with good teeth. So jousting on the back of a horse, probably not a good career move for me right now.
So no jousting and no hockey.
No. Now I live with my wife, and she could knock my teeth out at any given time. You never know what's going to happen. That is enough risk for me right there.
Well, you know, some of your videos, I have to say, I feared for your life after listening to the video you posted to all the ladies yesterday.
Yeah, well, It had to be said.
It did. So we just listened to your video that brought you so much attention with Fox News, the one for being unapologetically Southern. What do you think resonated with everyone? What do you think?
1.7 million people.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Well, it's funny. What I find is we err on both sides. So we have people who don't know much about the South and they criticize the South. And then you have people from the South who really misrepresent the South and are loudmouthed. And,
yes.
And they help foster and continue to feed the stereotype.
Well, some of the reality shows out now don't help either.
Oh, media and TV, they love
Southern
all of those
Justice
people.
Is one that really doesn't help you guys. Let me tell you.
Well, it's funny because you know, stereotypes exist for a reason. They're based on facts. They really are. So you know, we talk about.
Well, then every policeman in the mountains of North, South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee weighs 400 pounds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Stereotypes happen because there's some truth behind it. It doesn't mean that it's universal, but there's some truth behind it. And so, you know, we got into, you know, we had this huge debate going on, you know, late earlier this year about the Confederate flag, and everybody's fighting back and forth. And I, of course, I get messages every day from all these people who have these ideas of things they want me to say. You know, they think if they tell me to say it, then I'll just go out and say it. So I had all these people saying, let's do something about the Confederate flag. I said, no, I'm not going to say anything about the Confederate flag because I've got really close people that have strong feelings on both sides. And so I'm not doing that. And so what I did do is I said, I can point out that there are some great things about the South, and there are some great things that that should be promoted and pushed and publicized. And I had that message that came in, and that was a legitimate message that said, you just sound ignorant because you have a Southern dialect, and that just tells us right now we don't need to listen to you anymore. So, of course, that prompted me to do the video. And like many of my videos, the one I did yesterday about the girls, the one on the unapologetically Southern, they were just very impromptu. I didn't put any thought into
it. I was going to ask you that because it sounds scripted, but you're in your you're in your truck, and I couldn't figure out where you'd put the teleprompter. So,
well, my brain works in a funny way. I am able to think about 8 seconds in advance. So what I'm saying right now is not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say in a few seconds. So I can kind of see into the future, and I put my tongue on cruise control and just let it rip. And I've always kind of had that gift of really be able to string words together. So typically, whenever I'll do a video, I'll do two or three takes of it. And I'll usually take the third one because it's just the most fluid. But that one actually came out on the first time. I did it one time. And I said, yeah, this is what I want to say. So I went with it. And it's kind of a weird deal because I've had a lot of people who said, are you reading this? You know, surely he's got to be reading this. But I don't know. I just have that ability to string some words together. Now, that's a blessing and a curse because it can get me in a lot of trouble, too. I've learned this.
That's the women in the bar trying to rip his teeth out. So
exactly. Right. Some of those assaults are just tough. Yeah.
So,
well, before we go on, though, Heather, I got to ask him, why the truck? Why do you do these videos in your truck?
It's a real simple reason. I'm just always in it, and I'm always on the go somewhere. And on a more practical level, there's a couple of things. One, I can get perfect lighting every time because I can park it in the shade. I don't have to worry about, you know, secondary lights. And you guys are in radio, so you understand this. The acoustics are perfect in there.
Yeah, they are.
The acoustics are perfect. So it's not like you're talking in an empty, hollow room. So there's some practical reasons to doing it. And I find that people are just kind of drawn to it. And now it's gotten to a point where I can't do it anywhere else because people have come to expect it in the truck. And you know, occasionally, in most of my videos, I'm wearing a cowboy hat. And I've found that the cowboy hat videos get far more views and far more responses than the ones where I'm just wearing a ball cap. And
not surprising.
Strange deal. It's kind of,
you know, I have to say, as a woman, I am jealous because, you know, videos, as far as marketing goes, it's the way to go. But as a mom and a woman, there are days I am just so dog tired. And so the idea of makeup and hair and all that crud just to do a daggum video, it's just not fair. You just get to throw on a cowboy hat and everybody loves you.
Well, I don't shave, you know, I get in there and sometimes I'm thinking, you really clean up the back of your truck because millions of people are about to watch this or, you know, put on a shirt that looks a little bit better or something like that. And it's funny because you kind of take it for granted. You're not realizing how many people are about to watch this. But I'm at a point now where anything that I post, any video that I post, I'm humbled by it, is going to get at least 100,000 views. And that's humbling. It really is. And so, you know, hint, hint to all you sponsors out there that want to spend your sponsor dollars and be in a chat break the video. Just kidding. So
don't you be taking my sponsors. What are you doing? I'm just teasing.
So, you know, I mean, by the way, we do have 20 videos now with well over 1 million views, but we'll digress. But it's funny because like in the unapologetically
and you can find him at 1-800.
Right. In that video, you know, here it is on Fox and Friends. And it's on the
Hey, what was that like? Tell us a little bit about tell us a little bit about that. Did you actually go to New York or did you do it in a studio in Texas?
Well, I'll tell you the really quick, you know, it was a Saturday morning that a friend of mine from Georgia sends me a message and he says, "Hey man, I heard your voice in the other room." And I go in and you're on TV. And I said, "Well, that's cool." He goes, "Yeah, man, you're on Fox." And I said, "Well, that's neat." And he's like, "Is this not impressive to you? I mean, it's not a big deal." I said, "Well, not really, because my videos are on a lot of, you know, local affiliates now. And, you know, from time to time." And he said, "But no, this is on Fox." And I said, "Well, which affiliate is it?" He goes, "It's Fox. I said, "I better get up and go in the other room and take a look at this." So I go in, turn the TV on, and sure enough, there's my, you know, ugly mug on there. And they're doing a toss to commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk to this guy. So they ran the video at the 6:30 hour and then at 7:30, an hour later. And they did a little talk about it. Well, then I had a show in Houston, so my wife and I were in the car. We were headed down to actually Conroe, Texas. And I said, "Well, I guess Fox will probably be calling, because typically they want to follow up because they were getting great response." So sure enough, they called and they said, "You know, is there any way you can be in the Dallas studio tomorrow morning?" So we worked all that out. We got up at 2:00 in the morning and drove from Conroe back to Dallas. To be in studio. So no, I didn't go to New York. I filmed it on location there, the satellite location there in Dallas.
What did in the 10 minutes after you were there, how many views did you get?
You know, I don't know exactly. I would say a couple of 100,000 at least.
That's what I would have guessed. Yeah.
But it was funny because, you know, obviously when you do that, everybody wants a piece of you. You know, you've got booking agents that are calling you or sending you messages and reaching out to you. And of course, I welcome all of that. It's how I make a living. So, of course, I do. But, you know, you appreciate every bit of the exposure. And so, you know, it was a frenzy for about a week, and I expected that. And then, but my life has really been a frenzy for the last year, ever since the first video I ever did kind of went, what you would call viral. And it's funny to me that that's the one that got picked up on by the major media markets the way that it did. But I guess it just kind of struck a nerve. So, you know, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Before we run out of time, I wanted to talk to you. You're going to be in Vegas and you will be, are you emceeing the fashion show for Gypsy Soul? Is that what's going on?
I'm going to do this, Heather. I'm going to emcee it. Going to be the humor. I'm going to be the good looks. I am going to be the style. I'm going to be the total. No, I'm just kidding. They would have no fashion show if it were left up to me. No, Gypsy Soul reached out to me. I'm good friends with Lorinda and Amy and the ladies that you know have Gypsy Soul and such a great company and great girls. And so they reached out to me a while back and they said, "Hey, we don't know what we want to do, but we want to do something. We want you involved with the fashion show." So we worked it out. I'm going to emcee it.
Oh, so this is a tough gig. Wait a minute. Hold it.
Yeah,
this is
a
tough gig. You're going to come out. We'll take you out to Vegas, and you get to hang around with pretty girls, and, you get to do some speaking. I think that's a tough gig right there.
Yeah, we're headed. Yeah, I mean, people should be envious of me, to be quite honest.
Now, did a little birdie tell me that you're going to wear some bling? Is that true?
I'll wear some bling. I'll do whatever Lorinda Van Nistelrooy tells me to do.
I think Lorinda is under the impression that there's going to be bling involved.
Whatever Lo tells me to do, I will do.
Well, you will not be the first cross-dressing person to host a show in Vegas. Yeah, that's right.
No, you're absolutely right. You know what? I expect to come out. I want to be Liberace with a cowboy hat. And so, you know, I'm sure that they have some evil plans for me. And I won't even go into the things that they have held over my head in forms of blackmail so that they can get me to do whatever they want done.
She's coming on at the end of the show.
We'll
so
ask.
I got to ask.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll be out there. I will be in Vegas. I'm actually headed to Vegas for the PBR finals here. What was that next week? The 21st. And then, so I'm out there for 5 days and I'll be out there with Rank Rodeo Threads, my good friends that have Rank Rodeo. And then I'll be back in Vegas for NFR. I'll get out there on the 1st. And then I've got to come back on the 4th because I'm in the celebrity cutting here in Fort Worth. And then I'll be right back in Vegas until the 14th. So it's a lot of Vegas.
Wow.
A lot of Vegas. I'm either coming back rich or broke. And
that's what we all say when we go out there.
Yeah, either he's exactly. Coming back either married or divorced, one or the other.
That's right. But we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be a good time, and I can't wait to do that. That is a pretty good gig. You know, asked to go out there and hang around with a bunch of pretty ladies while they while they, you know, model. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Well, I'm hoping to find my way over there. It's iffy. I can't remember what date she's picked out for that. I think I can catch it. It's on my list. So I wanted to also, you posted, I think it was this morning, something about a cruise that you have going on. Did I see a cruise that you're going to be on?
Yeah, next September. We've got, and that's, so it's a little ways away, but we've got a, next September we're doing a cruise out of New Orleans.
It may be a ways away.
Cruise.
But yeah, I feel it's going to sell out.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good response to folks, you know, booking already this
right.
far out. You know, we gave them a deal to be able to do it, but we're doing a 7-day cruise and be myself and my sometimes partner in crime, Cooper Wade. We do a lot of live music shows together. So he and I are going to do it. We're going to entertain at night. And
do you have to have a Southern accent to get on board?
You don't. Okay. You can come. I want you to come.
You have to be able to write a check to get on board.
It requires U.S. currency. That's all that you need.
Northern or Southern, doesn't matter. Either one.
Yeah. We don't care where you're from. I mean, you know, people have told me that my teeth are fake. They've told me my accent is fake. And, you know, if I could figure out a way to get some fake money, I'd be in business.
Well, you let me know when you figure that out.
Yeah. Thank you, Chad.
But,
we appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, man, it's my pleasure. And I will say this before I go.
Yeah.
These women in rodeo are tough. These women in rodeo are tough. I would rather fight a bull rider than a woman that rodeos. I really would. And, you know, I think I would have a better shot than fighting one of these gals that gets out there. I've been calling a lot of rodeos, you know, announcing a lot of rodeos. These girls are impressive that are out there doing what they do. They intimidate me.
Those of us that are horse husbands that married them know that. We know not to get out of line. Once you see what they can
do
with a horse, you know, a husband's no problem. So,
yeah. Exactly.
Well, thank you, Chad. I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
WatchChad.com is the website, and you can find them over at RideTV.com. Well, coming up next, we have our song for you, a little Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses, seems more than appropriate for the Women in Rodeo episode. And then we got a bunch more guests and a lot more Women in Rodeo coming up here on Horses in the Morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she talks about them. Dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl some days. What is it? What is it with girls? What is in those gentle eyes.
was Girls and Horses by Templeton Thompson. You can, of course, find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Heather, and we're doing the Women in Rodeo show. Jennifer's off this morning, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're not live today. We're recorded because we're out on vacation, but we thank you for stopping by for this brand new episode. And this episode is sponsored by
Cowgirl Dirt, a natural mineral makeup company committed to giving cowgirls the opportunity to follow their dreams, even in their makeup. From their Wild West blush to bulletproof lip glazes, Cowgirl Dirt brings the West into makeup. You can buy their products and 99-cent samples of their products at cowgirldirt.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Cowgirldirt.com. Well, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Next, we have Callie Duperior. She's a WPRA barrel racer and first-time Wrangler National Finals rodeo qualifier. So she's going to be quite excited. Well, hi, Callie. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. So first of all, congratulations. You're finally a first-time WNFR qualifier. How's it feel?
It feels awesome. I'm so excited, but it still doesn't feel real yet. I told my dad, I was like, it doesn't even feel like I made it. So I guess when we're actually driving to Vegas, it'll kick in and I'll actually feel the jitters in my stomach.
Aw, I can understand that. So what do you think, what's been the biggest thing that's excited you this year? Or what do you think helped you qualify this year?
Oh gosh, there's a lot that helped me qualify this year. I don't know if you heard, but a bunch of people, when they say it takes a whole village to get to the NFR, that is definitely true. Of course, I couldn't have done it without my dad. My dad has been a huge part in my rodeo career, and he just is awesome. And then my two awesome horses, and then just keeping them sound. Well, also, my vet helped me from Bernie. He kept my horses sound and my horse shoer, because last year I had feet problems with Dylan, and so I didn't get to run him as much as I had wanted to. So this year he stayed sound and his feet were awesome. So a big thank you to my vet and my horseshoer. And then also I think what helped me this year is I got to haul with Sherry Servey some, and we went over the 4th of July and she is just awesome. She helped me in so many ways. My horse Arson, he is kind of hard to slow work. He can be a little butthead. So Sherry helped me with that, and helped me slow work them and all that. And
explain
then
slow work.
Over the floor.
Explain that to me. Slow work him.
Because Dylan doesn't need that much slow work just because he's older. But for like younger horses, it's kind of good to slow work them because they maybe after a couple runs or whatever they get like they're cutting in on the barrel or trying to turn when you're not ready, and it's just tuning your horse up. So I have to do that to Arson. I just do big circles around the barrel to really lift his shoulder so he doesn't try and cut in on me during my run. So
okay.
She helped me with that, and I learned a lot from her. She's an awesome lady. So
she's been like your mentor this year.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely. Her and her husband, actually, Corey Petzka, he had to walk me in the alley a bunch because Arson can get a little crazy in the alley, so he'd have to help me on his horse. And so, just overall, there's so many people. There's all the support and everything. So definitely takes a village to get anyone to the NFR.
Definitely. So this comes from me just, lack of knowledge, not knowing, now you've qualified. What do you do with your horses? Do they continue to work? Do you continue to do rodeos? Or do you say, okay, I need to give them a break? How does that work?
Well, with my horses, I think it's good for them to get a break just because the rodeo season doesn't really have like a downtime. So there honestly isn't that much of a break. So I let Dylan rest. I went to the Kissimmee Champion Challenge with Dylan, but and after that rodeo, I haven't ran him at a rodeo. I honestly haven't even rode him. Just let him get a little break, and then I'll start riding him to just keep him in shape. Because I'm not sure what everyone else's beliefs are on like getting out of shape or whatever, but I don't think it can, they can get out of shape in like a couple of days or a week or something. So I like to just give them off and not even like long trot them or anything. And then after about a week and a half or so, I start long trotting them and stuff. But so yeah, he's getting a lot of rest. And then Arson is getting some rest too. But I'm also trying to get ready for the NFR in case I were to run Arson, if I need to run Arson. I haven't ran him in a bunch of buildings, so any buildings or like covered arenas that I can go to with Arson, I'm going to go smart. To just to get prepared for the NFR.
Right, right. That's smart. What else are you doing?
I know been there before. So.
What else are you doing to prepare for that? Like what's on, I would have no clue where to start.
I guess there's a bunch of the girls go to North Side. It's an arena by Fort Worth, I think, maybe. And they said it's like the best way to mimic the NFR, like the arena type and the small pattern. So me and my dad are going to, we plan on going to the rodeos they have to run Arson and some other horses, just so you can kind of get the feel of the real small building feel with, because they said that's the best arena out there, that it's kind of like the Thomas and Mack.
Right, right. So a long time ago, I had an opportunity to interview you, and I can't remember if we did that via Instagram or how we did that, but during the interview, you mentioned that you use a TheraPlate for your horse. And when you said that, I never got to circle back around and ask you what that is and what benefits that has for your horse. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, TheraPlate is like, I guess I'm not going to explain it very well either. I'm so bad at this, but it's like, it's like this thing they step up on and it has different settings, and there's like a low speed or a high speed. And it just kind of like vibrates like all over. It's actually kind of weird. When I think of it, I'm like, I don't understand how this can help a horse, but Dylan loves it. It just like, I guess it's kind of like a muscle relaxer. It just helps all over their body. And when you get a TheraPlate, it comes with a booklet and has different settings. So like for body soreness or feet issues or stifles, it tells you like go on this setting for this many minutes and then the other settings for however many minutes. So it's just like, honestly, when I stand on it, it just like vibrates your legs and you can feel it throughout your whole body. So I guess that's what the horse feels. And anytime I put Dylan on it, he just starts licking his lips and he'll stay on it for like 20 minutes. So he loves it.
Oh, and did I see right? Do you load that in your trailer? Does it go with you or does that just in the barn?
I actually have one in the barn, and I was able to get one that fits inside the stall in the trailer. So I do have one in the trailer. So I take it everywhere with me.
So what you're telling me is your horses have a rolling spa that goes with you, basically. They're quite spoiled.
Pretty much.
That's awesome. Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, your horses working hard and what type of nutritional regimen do you have them on?
Dylan and Art, they work very hard every time they run. And I definitely believe in, like, well, because we're on the road so long, I believe in keeping your horses happy. So I'm kind of getting off the nutritional subject, but
that's okay.
I'll go back to that. Just with them being on the road for so long, it's kind of hard. They can get unhappy. There's times when Dylan doesn't even eat or drink, and I worry about him. So keeping the horses happy and giving them fresh grass when you can, and if we're in really crappy stalls, try and get them out as much as you can. But I like to give, as for feeding my horses, I give them Dylan's on Omaline 500, and I put some platinum in there, and then I have to give him these pellets for his hoof, like, because he has really bad feet, and then Arson gets Safe Choice, and so they're kind of all on a different little feeding program, but they've been the same, and I don't like to change anything. So I've just been giving them the same stuff they've always been on. And they love their alfalfa. So
Well, it's obvious. And I could tell this when I interviewed you last time, the love for your horses and that you definitely take care of them. And that comes through every time I talk to you.
Yes. Dylan and Arson are both very spoiled. When we get somewhere and we're in a stall, Dylan will have shavings and I have to put, he wants 10 bags. It's like their shavings go up to his knees. He's so spoiled. But Arson doesn't care how many he gets. He'll lay down in the shavings no matter what. But Dylan will literally wait for me to put the number 10 in, and then he'll lay down and just take a nap. But he has to wait until I get the 10th one.
So looking back over your past year, other than qualifying for the NFR, what's your favorite moment? What's been the one thing that sticks out in your mind?
Oh, gosh, there's been so many moments.
I'll tell you what I thought was cool. I loved seeing you girls. I think you did it too. The fly-in at Calgary.
Oh,
did you do that?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, I got that was amazing. It was so cool. I wanted to do it so bad. When they talked about it, I was like, I'm in.
Aw. I loved seeing those pictures.
There was some other girls and I was like, y'all want to get dressed up? And they were like, get dressed up in what? And I was like, not full on costumes, but just do something to stand out. And they were like, sure. And so I went to Party City with my sister and my mom, and we picked out a whole bunch of stuff. And they're like different colors. And I was like, here, we're going to wear this.
And those are the pictures I saw. Yes, that's awesome.
Yes, it was so much fun.
Oh, very cool. So one thing I always like to ask a barrel racer, and I happened to ask this of a little girl one time, and I'm gonna ask you, what goes through your mind as you're going and when you're in the alleyway and you're getting ready to make your run? What is going on in your mind at that very moment?
Well, I'm actually pretty calm. I'm not gonna lie. First, I tell myself what horse I'm on, because I ride Dylan and Arson like opposite. They're not anything alike. So I have to be like, okay, you're on Arson. You really need to hustle and use your feet. And then on Dylan, I'm just, all right, go make the same run as always. But I definitely just tell myself, all right, it's, you know what you're supposed to do. And then I just kind of go in, and whatever happens, happens.
Aw, and see, I think I would be a train wreck.
Yeah. See, I thought I used to be pretty nervous, but I guess now that I've been doing it for a while, I don't get as nervous. I just am like, all right, it's a rodeo, Dylan and Arson, whoever I want, they can do it. And
yep, let's get it on.
Let's go.
Yep. Before we finish up today, can you tell me one thing that you would suggest to any young lady that wants to get started into barrel racing? What would you suggest that they do to prepare, or maybe prospecting a horse? What would you look for with prospecting a horse?
Well, first I would tell them that it is never too late to get started, because I started very late. Because you think that a bunch of people start riding when they're like 4 and 5, and like when they're really young, which they do. But I didn't start till I was like 14, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to catch up to these girls. They're going to be better at riding than me. And but if you just keep on pushing and practicing, it'll get there. I definitely think if you have the horse, like I would say the horses I had when I was younger taught me how to ride. Like they weren't the fastest horses, but they knew the barrel pattern, and so it was able to get me a feel of like going out and what pocket I was supposed to have. Because the first horse I started out on was, she ran 18, 19 second barrel patterns on like every single pattern. So we were slow, but we went at a lope, but she knew where to go for her pocket. And so it just gave me the feel of, okay, here is where your pocket would be. And this is what it feels like when you turn. So, definitely having a horse that knows his job, and it doesn't have to be the fastest, but so I definitely think I'm a big believer in the horses teach you how to ride, because that's kind of how I got.
Right. Right. Very good. Well, thank you, Callie, so much for coming on the show. I didn't get to see you in Kissimmee, and I didn't even know you were going to be there, and that just disappoints me even more. I was sick. So hopefully I can track you down in Vegas and we can finally meet each other.
Yes, that would be awesome.
Well, thank you again for being on the show, and good luck. I will be cheering you on and hopefully be there in the stands cheering you on.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
With us today, we have Gypsy Soul, Lorinda Van Newkirk with Gypsy Soul, sharing how to take your passion and drive and use it to do what you love. Welcome to the show, Lorinda.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Just enjoying the weather now that things have cooled off here in North Texas.
I got to jump in here right away. We talked to Chad earlier, and he is ready to wear a dress in Vegas. Okay, so.
Well, I can guarantee you, Amy Morehouse can make that happen. That is for sure.
I informed him there would at least be some bling. I did inform him there would be some bling.
Well, you know, so I'm friends with Tuff Cooper and his mom. And last year at Denver, he was walking by our booth, and I had informed him that we were now his new foot sponsor, and that he had to have his toenails crystalled. And every time he won a round at the NFR, he was going to have to take his boots off and show everyone, which he turned, you know, 4 shades of white when I told him that. So we could just do that with Chad. I could actually make that a reality. We'll just bling his
and toes Chad
and
would do it. See, that's the difference.
Yeah. I think if anybody could do it, it would be
absolutely Chad.
Sure.
Definitely. So what do you have for us today? You know, you had mentioned you were going to talk about passion and drive and loving what you do and you know, how to get out there and make a change to do what you love, that sort of thing. And you are the perfect person for that, because, you know, I look at what you and Amy have done and where you started and where you are now. So I'm really interested to hear what you have to say on that.
Well, this all stems, you know, from my dad that, you know, has been such a huge influence in my life. And at a young age, you know, he used to tell me, you know, really figure out what your passion is in life and learn how to make money at it. So every day you don't have to get up and go, I have to go to work today or I have to go do this. And, you know, you really don't understand that concept until you start having jobs that you, absolutely hate, which I figured that out at a young age in college, you know, going to college and, you know, working in the mall and working at the bank and working, you know, wherever you could get a job just to have extra money, you know, to go do stuff. And so it really started to resonate with me at a young, you know, in my college years, like my dad actually knows what he's talking about. And, you know, I didn't know at that time where I'd be today, but I was always good at sales and I always had a great imagination and I knew I had an eye for things that I knew that would sell in the marketplace. So, I mean, that's where it's led me to, you know, where I am today. But, you know, you've really just got to try different things and not be scared to jump out there and do something. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to look back and regret and go, I should have done that. Or I had that idea 10 years ago. You know, we're only here for a short time and we have so many different blessings in our lives and, you know, try it. I mean, it's okay. And, you know, I tell people just start small, you know, just write it down. Just go to Target or wherever you like to shop, your favorite gift shop, and buy a really cool journal or book or something that you enjoy to look at. And just start writing down things that you love to do or things you want to do. And then, you know, what is one step that I have to do to make X happen? And just start small, and you never know where that's going to end up. And, you know, there's so many things that Amy and I do, you know, that people don't understand. You know, we just start something and a small little speck of an idea that Amy and I have together. And luck, you know, we're very lucky we have each other because we're always, you know, pushing each other. We'll try it, make it, do it, you know, and not everybody
right.
has that, but it just starts out small. And it's, I mean, even if you want to do a beautiful planter in your front yard, I mean, start with something small that you think you want to do and let your passion grow from there. And as you know, it's like teaching a kid to ride a bike. You know, we just don't throw our kids on the bike and say, go, We have training wheels. We help them. We push them. Surround yourself with positive people that believe in you and want to, you know, help you succeed, just like we do with our kids, you know, holding the back of the back seat. And we don't just send them down a big hill. You know, we start small with our training wheels.
Right.
And, you know, go from there.
Not to interrupt your train of thought, but starting small, going from that, paint us a picture of what Gypsy Soul was like when you first started out. What was that like? Did you start out, were you going from rodeo to rodeo and setting up? Like, what was it like?
Well, Amy and I, before Gypsy Soul was created, we both had retail trade show booths.
Okay.
And we were basically the same, but she was in Texas and I was in California.
And did you know each other?
We knew each other. I worked for Amy when she was running Smith Brothers in 1996. I worked for her at the NFR for 3 days. She was my boss.
Okay.
She's a great boss. But anyways, so we knew each other. My mother-in-law got Amy her first design job at Cruel Girl. I mean, there's lots of history there, but we always just worked together. But we knew work-wise, we thought a lot the same, but the starting of Gypsy Soul was, you know, came out with a flip-flop that we knew at our retail trade show booth. You know, you go to these trade shows and everyone copies each other or has the same thing. Every booth after booth right. has the same stuff. So we had to have something different, something that nobody else had. So we decided to put cowhide on some flip-flops and we bought shoes from Payless. I mean, it was, you know, nothing compared to what it is today. But we took the little bit of money we had, went to Payless shoe stores in the DFW area, bought as many as we could, bought some cowhide, hired a saddle guy, you know, convinced him to put the cowhide with studs on these shoes. He thought we were nuts. And that's where it started, you know, and just we did a few shows and people liked them and stores started contacting us. But we really didn't even understand the concept of what we had done until we were, you know, 3-4 years into it and went, oh, like people love these.
You know, right. Let's, and it's all because you bit the bullet and took a chance and took a leap of faith. And now yes. here you are.
Yes. And, you know, we didn't take money that would destitute us or we didn't, you know, things like that. But, you know, right. a lot as grownups, you know, you can't make these huge investments, but there's small steps that you can do. And, you know, I feel like the hungrier you are, the more inventive you are. So if you just have the money to go do whatever you want, you have the easy way. I don't feel like the greatest things come from that. The greatest things come from, you know, starving a little bit or it's hard or it's not easy. You really dig deep and figure out what you've got to do. So you know, I look at all the struggles, Amy and I, and every day we hit struggles with Gypsy Soul. It's not easy by no means. I mean, we get up fighting every day for every dollar we make or the business we have. And, you know, you've got to get up and you've got to want it. You've got to fight for it. And that's what makes you a great success, you know, and to withstand time also with your passion.
Well, you know, if you watch Shark Tank at all, if you're not hungry a little bit, they don't want to invest in you.
No.
Because that's what they want. They want that person that's hungry and has the drive.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, it's you have got to want to win it. It's super easy when you're making money and everybody loves your product and you're sold out and you have orders for weeks. It's, you know, you've got to last the times of bad economy or like right now, an election year or, you know, there's so many different things. But if you truly believe in what you're doing and you truly have a passion and love for what you do, then you can do it. I mean, you've got to stand strong and believe in yourself. And it's just like workout videos. You're stronger than you think. You can push yourself further. It's the same thing with your passion. You have no idea how far you can go if you just believe in yourself.
But okay, but then at some point I want to stop struggling and actually make some money. I'm just throwing that out there, okay?
Absolutely.
Yes, you do. You do. And you get to go to fun things. There's so many great things. But
I would caution
it all starts with,
go ahead.
go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I would caution that you also have to know your personality. Like, I think you must be the person that on the days when it's bad or it's slow or it's just not going like it should, you're the type that can get yourself out of bed and get yourself motivated and get yourself going, because no one's going to be there to kick you out of bed and do all that. So, you know, I do think you have to evaluate your personality and what you are capable of, especially if there's going to be money involved.
Yes. Yes. You need to be realistic what your characteristics are. And if you're not a self-motivator, then maybe you have a brilliant idea, you sell that to somebody. Or patent it and sell it to somebody that is and can take it and maybe give you a small percentage. So that is very key to really understand what your characteristics are and you know, how far you can go in that sense. There's things, you know, Amy doesn't like selling. That is not part of her characteristic. So, but where that's no problem for me. I'm like, Amy, just design it and give it to me. I can go sell it. So, you know, we have that happy medium between the two of us, which not everybody's going to have, because, you know, a lot of partnerships don't work and don't work out. But I have been told by several very successful people that once you get to a point, you always try to hire the most talented people you can afford in the parts that you're not good at. And
always hire people better than you.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, that is. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That is right.
That's why Heather's here.
Well, I needed someone like Lynn to learn from.
And that's the best part about, you know, finding your passion and growing, the networking, the people you meet, the contacts. I mean, it's just endless.
And I have to say this too, because this was my struggle in the beginning. I knew the direction I wanted to go. I didn't have all the pieces. I didn't know how to get started. And so for me, it was a business coach. I reached out to a business coach, a reputable one in my area, and she really just helped me piece it all together and just make that leap. So I highly suggest that. I was very skeptical of going that route, but man, she's the best thing I ever did. And I still turn to her to this day, and she's amazing. So, or a mentor, if you have someone you can turn to, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I call it, you know, it's kind of your own round table of successful people. And I have that, you know, separate from my husband and Amy. I have people that I've met over the years that I've always respected their opinion. And when I don't have that 100% gut feeling, you know, I give them the facts and they give me sometimes the answers I don't want to hear. And that's so great to have that in your, you know, those type of people around you. Or if you need to hire a coach, I mean, I think that's fantastic.
Right, right. Well, is there anything else you want to leave us with today?
Nope. Just go get you a journal that you love and take that leap of faith. And like I said, if it starts with baking a cake or planting something in your yard or sewing your first design and fabric, you know, do it. I mean, you may not have tomorrow. You don't want to wake up tomorrow and have that regret. So go for it. You can do it.
That's right. I love it. And I look forward to seeing you and Chad with his bling in Vegas.
Yes, we're going to have a great time. And it was great talking to you. Have a great rest of the day.
Do they make high heel cowboy boots for females? You need to make a custom ones for Chad, because I really want to see him. Okay.
We can do anything.
It is Vegas.
It is Vegas. That's right. Well, I hope everyone has the opportunity to come to the show at the MGM Grand in their Gold Buckle Zone. And if you haven't booked your room, book them at MGM with our promo code that's on our website. So you guys have a great day, and thank you again for having me on. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Lorinda. And you can find that promo code at gypsysoul.com. Next up, we have MRA Executive Board Member Jonna Needfelt. Welcome to the show, Jonna.
Hey, good day.
And so you are here to talk to us about some of the changes to the horsemanship portion of the Miss Rodeo America pageant. One of the changes is the change of venue. Can you tell us some about that?
Yes, I can. We're very excited that South Point Hotel and Casino has joined us in our venture to find a good location for the horsemanship. They've offered up the use of one of their arenas. As most folks know, they have multiple covered arenas. We're going to get to use one of those. So we should get a little more real estate for the horses, that being a larger arena floor. And we think it should just overall be a good change for the animals and the contestants themselves.
Okay, well, good. And one of the biggest changes is switching from a freestyle to rail work. First, I wanted to ask you, for myself and for anyone else that's listening that may not know, I don't quite understand what rail work is. Can you explain that to me?
Okay. In layman terms, those that may not be so familiar with the horse show world, rail work may mimic or look a lot like a Western pleasure class, where the horses work both directions of the arena, all three gates, or all three forward gates, I'll say. But in this case, it's horsemanship. The horses will move in that fashion, but the judges won't be focusing on what the horses are doing. They'll be focusing on how the contestants manage the animal, maneuver through the different gates, their transitions, how the girls' basic equitation is as far as their feet, legs, hands, what their upper body position is. But horsemanship on the rail really leads itself to a critique of how the contestants manage their arena space, if they know how to keep the horse in a safe position. I guess liken it to a grand entry at a rodeo, where the contestant, it needs to manage where her horse is relative to the horse ahead of her. And if she happens to have someone whose horse is, so to speak, tailgating, how does she handle that? She needs to maintain herself in a safe fashion while presenting herself to the public. That's what we're trying to achieve with the rail work. Very seldom is a Miss Rodeo America asked to run circles and figure eights. We have to do something to gauge horsemanship. That's why we do the pattern. But we felt we wanted to choose a judged function that was more like what the public typically sees Miss Rodeo America doing, and that's things such as grand entries, moving cattle out of the arena. And we think the rail work portion is more indicative of that.
Okay, good, good. What are the judges? I think you kind of already touched on some of it already, but what specifically would judges be looking for so these girls can be a little prepared for that?
Right. Again, they won't be judging the movement or mannerisms of the horse.
Okay.
They'll be judging the rider's ability to manage that horse in the space allowed. For example, in the rail work, we're limited. We have a saddle sponsor that's Port Saddlery. They provide us with 12 nearly identical saddles. So the most horses we can put in the arena at one time for the rail work will be 12. So we'll be looking at 12 riders in the arena at one time. It's how do they manage themselves, the transitions, you know, when the gate is called, say, to go from a trot to a lope, how long does it take them to get there? Do they get the horse in the right lead? Do they understand if the horse is in the wrong lead and try to fix it? So it'll be basic horsemanship skills, so to speak, on the flat.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for, the rider's ability to manage the situation with the horse in the time frame they're given.
Okay, well, that all makes sense. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap up today?
Just that the horsemanship is going to be held on Monday, November 30th. It will start at 10 o'clock. I believe the doors open to the public at 9:30. It is a free event, which is usually very well attended. So we anticipate having seating for about 800 spectators. So we certainly, with that number of people in 30 minutes to get you in and seated to start the program, encourage everyone to come, be there promptly at 9:30 when the doors open so we can get you seated, settled, and the program started at 10.
Okay, wonderful. And they can find more information at MissRodeo.com, correct?
MissRodeoAmerica.com, yes.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, John. It was really nice to talk to you.
You're very welcome, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Well, that was a terrific show. Thank you so much, Heather, for adding a little Western and a little bling to Horses in the Morning.
Always fun.
And where can people find you?
WomenInRodeo.com. And I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Women in Rodeo.
Very good. Check it out today and hop on over and join the Facebook page as well. Now, of course, you can find links to today's guests and show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also find Heather's past episodes there. Just search for Women in Rodeo. We'll be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern. We have a classic show for you, and you're going to like this one for all the new listeners out there, and I know we have a ton of you. We did an episode back in June of 2014 called Know the Hosts, where we interviewed each other about our life and what, you know, the history and background and everything. It was kind of fun. So if you want to get to know Jamie, Jennifer, and I, then you tune in to tomorrow's show. I think you'll enjoy that. And then Mary Kitzmiller will be here on Thursday. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll see you, Heather.
Goodbye.